Today was also the Yotzeit of the Divrei Chaim, the Sons of Ruv, and the Klausenberger Rebbe, in one of the Chumash Rashi Shurim that he used to give on Thursday nights, in Parshas Vayakel Pekudei, actually. It was Shnas Tov Shin Mem, 1980. As he once mentioned, and he said that his grandfather, great-great-grandfather, he says, the Divrei Chaim, the Sons of Ruv, his Yutzar was today, would say that Miyoy Mamdi Aldati, from the moment, he says, that I had the slightest bit of intelligence, he was very, very makpid against Midvar Sheker Tirchok. Extremely makpid. He was Isoyne Sheker B'tachlis Asina. He used to point out that to the extent that he took it very literal, that if he stood next to someone who spoke Midvar Sheker, he used to be about 3 years old or so, he said, run away, because Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So Tirchok means you distance yourself. So it's not only that you shouldn't speak Sheker, but stay away from someone. Midvar Sheker Tirchok. And instinctively, he used to shake his clothing off, as if some of the words of the Sheker should not stick to him or have any shaykhis to him. And to clean his baggage, totally disassociate himself from Divrei Sheker. Many, many different Hasidic dynasties, but nevertheless, they were all really had connected one way or the other, at least in terms of traveling and learning Avodas Hashem from the Divrei Chaim. As I said, the Satmar Ruv used to say that, first of all, his father himself, who was the Rav in Sigit, who was the Rebbe in his own right, but he used to travel himself. He used to go to the Divrei Chaim. He used to go to Sons. And many great Rebbes, the Tzer Shloimeh, Shloim Radomsker, great Rebbe in his own right, who had thousands of Hasidim, used to leave Shavuos, his own place, and used to go to Divrei Chaim, used to go to Sons for Shavuos. He used to say the only place they could still hear, he says, today, the Koilus of Brokim, of Matan Torah, he used to say, is in Sons. In Sons on Shavuos, he says, you could hear, he says, the Koilus of Brokim. So he pointed out and says that, because the Rebbe said, he heard from his father that the Divrei Chaim once said, when he saw that, or his father actually said, when he heard that people were speaking so great about the Divrei Chaim, that the Divrei Chaim said that the truth is, everybody thinks that he just merely has a great neshama, which in fact was very true. He used to say that if Malachim tried to investigate and tried to focus on the gavlus of the neshama of the Divrei Chaim said that the Malachim become poshut, they become bottle. The Kedusha, he said, of his Shairish neshama. But besides, he said, he was a tremendous Oved Hashem, with all of the faculties and the kishroinis that he had. But it was not that everything came to him. But he was a tremendous Oved Hashem, and he said that if anybody would start that young and concentrate and put in all of his efforts in Avodas Hashem as the Divrei Chaim did, he said that many would be the same way. And he just gave one illustration, he said. So at the age of 3, they sent him already to Cheder. And there was a monitor or someone who was an overseer there in the Cheder, who was a little bit of a wild person and didn't know any limits. And somehow once he sort of like pushed him, he pushed the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim was at that time was like 3 years old. And he fell to the ground to a point where he injured his leg, his left leg. It was tremendous injury. And he did not tell his mother. And the reason that he did not tell his mother was because he was concerned that his mother would have tsar. And out of the great extent of kibud av and kibud eim that he had, he would not tell his mother because he was sure that his mother would have tremendous tsar, and he suffered. He suffered all the tsar and all the pain until they came to a point where they saw that he was limping. He wasn't able to walk. Mommy couldn't walk. And his mother picked up what was going on, took him to the doctor. It was already too late. Too late meant, so therefore it was known that the Divrei Chaim suffered all his life. He suffered on that leg. Nobody knew the history of that. The reason was, Pasha, because he didn't want to be mitzar his mother, and therefore he suffered for all of his life. As a matter of fact, the point is that one of his sons used to help him remove his socks. Especially when he went to the mikveh, he would remove his socks. And he says, all his life, he said, somehow that leg did not heal. That leg did not heal, and there was like raw flesh, and there was pimples on it, all kinds of situations, and would bleed from time to time, to the point that when you would remove his socks, he says, it would tear a piece of the flesh because the socks got dried in with the dried blood and the various little wounds that he had on that foot. And this was all because, he says, everything is fine, he says, this was Kedai the Mesiris Nefesh, he always would say, he says, that he had, in order not to be mitzar his mother, to suffer all that pain and to suffer all that tsar. And one of the big oinim in Ungarn was a yid by the name of Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich. His name was the Shimlo Aruf was his name. He was a goyin otzum. He was. As a matter of fact, there's a letter from Rabbi Zalman of Shmuel Engel. They write on him Arisha B'chabure, tremendous on Shlomo Zalman Ehrenreich, and he said Shomanu. He said we used to hear about the Divrei Chaim. He used to say that when it came to a bris, he would say the bracha. And he, without asking the father, would say the name of the baby. He said, never, he says. And he said, this is an amazing thing, because this was the ayin be'ayin, that the only time where openly he would display, sort of like a koich of a ruch ha-kodesh, he says, I know what name this baby is supposed to have. And this was the name. He would give the name. This is one of the things about the Divrei Chaim. Just another thing which the Satan Rebbe used to say, that was known from the Shin Yavaruv, that the Shin Yavaruv used to say was the son of the Divrei Chaim. And he said as follows, he said, I mean, the Rechaim was known as a Goyin Hador and Torah as well, the Shas Yeshua, the Rechaim. So his son said about his father, the Rechaim, he said, it's Yitochin, he said, that there may be someone else in the generation who may be a Goyin as great as my father. Fine. And then he says, it's very possible that there is another person in this world who's also a great Oyved Hashem like my father. It's also possible, he says, that there's another person in this world who is oisig in Gemilus Chasodim to the extent of my father. But there's no one who is such a godel in Torah and in Avoid and Gemilus Chasodim. All three together, there's no one. You won't find it in one person. To have that degree of godless, he says, to that extent. This is what the Satmar Rebbe said that he heard, which is known from the Shin Yavar Rebbe. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, so we continue now. We start in the Shir Tanya. He says, Perek Zayin. We begin Perek Zayin, and we have to make the following Hagdomah. It's very important to get familiarize ourselves with some terminologies, as though we had quite a bit, a little bit, and some of the Nekudas just will go over again. The Tanya basically taught us that every Yid has two Neshomas. Every Yid has two Neshomas because it's based upon a Posek in Yiv. It says, Neshomos ani osisi, that I made Neshomas. So the Tanya tells us that every Yid has two Neshomas. One Neshomah is called the divine soul, the divine Neshomah, which means that every Yid has a Neshomah, which is the Chelik Elikai Mimal, which basically means that this is the neshama, which is a chelik kibiyochel, the chelik elikai mimal of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and which consists of the eser spheres, as we pointed out, the 10 faculties, the 10 basic koiches, which is chokhmah bin odas, and then which follows with design midos, which is design midas, chesed gvur teferes netzach yisoid malchus. And we know at the same time, the Tanya says, zelu mazel osalakim, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created a balance. And the effort means that just like a Yid has, as we said, the first neshama, which that's the chelik alakai mimal, a Yid has also what's called the nefesh habehamis, which we, just a simple translation or a loose translation means, it's called the animal soul, which means the nefesh de klipah. And we'll explain what that means. And this nefesh, this second neshama, by the way, that second neshama is the neshama that when we always talk about, we say a Yid has neshama, we talk about Yitzhiyas neshama, we talk about a Yid who has a neshama, and even a goy lahavdol, goy has a neshama, has a nefesh, which gives him his life force. You see, his neshama is no more life. Which neshama is that? The neshama that basically gives the physical life, that's the second neshama, that's the nefesh habahamis. The first neshama, as you pointed out, that's the chelik alakai mimal, that's the divine soul. But then when we say, ki adam hu hanefesh, which means that the second nefesh, the nefesh which gives the body its physical life, which is clothed, which is melubish in the dam, the dam basically has life in it due to that second neshama, which is called the nefesh habehamis. That's called nefesh de klipa. Also has 10 faculties, but it's not referred to, remember, as eser spheres, because eser spheres is a terminology reserved to 10 koiches in kedusha. But this is called, as the Tanya refers to it, asara kisrin de misavusa, which means the 10 tumadigi crowns, and refer to them in the negative sense. Also 10 forces and 10 koiches. That's the nefesh habehamis. Now, when we talk about the nefesh habehamis, that itself has two chilukim. There's two chilukim regarding the nefesh habehamis. Number one, when you talk about the sitra achra, when we talk about the evil forces, the side which is opposite kedusha, when we talk about the sitra achra, we know that there is a yerida mitzadecho. There's a yerida which is referred to the sholosh klipos hatmeyos. It's a very important something we discussed many, many times. These are the main three forces of evil. Again, what klipos means, we'll again explain it soon again, nochamol. But suffice to say, as we know, this is the terminology that is used for the evil forces. Sometimes other people refer to it as demonic forces. Shalish Ksipos Atneis are referred to based upon a pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about three forces. But these are forces of evil, these are forces of Tumah. Yecheskel talks about Ruach Sa'ara. The Balam Ukabalim derive from that, which is talking about the storm wind. Ruach Sa'ara is referring to one of the Klipois. Then he says Onon Godel, he talks about, right? The great cloud. That's the second Klipa. And then he says Ve'esh Mislakachas, talks about a burning fire. That is the third one. So these are the Sholesh Klipos HaTmeis, which are Mashpia, by the way. These Klipos HaTmeis give the life force that Tanya tells us in the previous parak, he told us, to all the Dvarim Hasurim. Let's remember that anything that exists on this world has to have something that gives it life. The Dvarim Hasurim. Dvarim Hasurim will include animals that are also to eat. It refers to even trees. The first 3 years, Arla, when you plant a newly planted tree, the first 3 years it is also be'achila, right? So in order for that tree to be survive, in order for those peiros to survive, where does the koyaches come from? Dvarim v'asurim receive their vitality, receive their koyach from the sholish klipas atmeis. This is, if you will, the nishamish boy. These are where the koyaches come from. All the dvarim v'asurim. And when a person, by the way, uses his body b'machshove dibur ha'maise to do isurim, so a person uses his mouth to speak dvarim asurim. He thinks about dvarim asurim. Where does he get this force? Where does he get the force of koyach? The source of koyach to be able to function with dvarim asurim, whether b'maise, machshove, and dibur, the Tanya says it comes from the sholosh klipos atmeis. The sholosh klipos atmeis are the life force behind all the inyonim of dvarim asurim. All inyonim asurim, which are osra pitoire, are mekusher to the sholosh klipos atmeis. However, and this is the crucial point, the pasuk mentions a fourth thing. We talked about sholosh klipos atmeis. There's a fourth thing which the pasuk talks about, and that is v'noyga loy soviv. There is a brightness around it. Thereby we arrive to a terminology and to a concept called klipas noyga. That's a fourth klipa. Klipas noyga. That's a klipa, basically, which is called and is known the klipa revius, which is the fourth klipa. And as the Tanya will tell us, this is a memutza between kedusha and tumah. So what you have is, in other words, you have kedusha, that's toiv, kuloi toiv. Then you have tumah, the sholosh klipas atmeis, that's kuloi ra. And then you have this fourth klipa, which is called klipas noyga. Klipas noyga means it has some brightness. Why? Because it can be utilized hen letoiv and hen lerag. We'll soon explain. This is the Tanya refers to. This is something which is memutza'as. It's an intermediary. It's right in between. It's in between kedusha and it's between tumah, which means it's neither totally good, neither totally bad. As a matter of fact, the person's able to elevate it and bring it into kedusha because it has tzad toiv. There's like a teruvis toiv ra, something which the Svarim HaKdoshim point out from the chet of the Eitz Hadas Toivara, which means, as Reb Chaim Volozhin says, Nefesh HaChaim, that now we have already the Taruv is a mixture. Whereas before, Toiv and Ra were isolated. Toiv was one thing, and Ra was something else. Now they all intermingled. And a person, the avoid of a person is to be able to be Mevarer, to be able to separate and to extract the Toiv mitoy Haran. That's why it's so challenging once we have had the experience of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. So to klipas noyga basically is a mixture of toivara, which means it can go either way, and we'll explain that as well. So mamela, this is mumutzas, it's right in between, and the Tanya will explain it. We'll see in Perek Zayin that since klipas noyga is mumutze between kedusha and between the gimel klipos hatmeyos, right? So therefore, sometimes the klipas noyga, this force, can be elevated to kedusha. And sometimes, lehefech, it's yoyred, and it goes down and becomes part of the sholosh klipas atmeis. This klipa revius, this fourth klipa, klipas noyga, can be dragged down, where it has a yerida, and becomes yoyred. It goes down and it has an nefila, and it descends, and it becomes connected to the sholosh klipas atmeis. That's really abusing it and destroying it. Whereas mitzad hasheni, the person also has the ability of taking this fourth klipa, the forces, the koyches of this fourth klipa, klipas noyga, and raising it up and bringing it up to the realm of kedusha, because klipas noyga by definition means it has a bright side. Noyga means there's a bright side to it, and therefore it has a tzad atoiv, and the avoid is to be able to extract the tzad atoiv and elevate it mamish to the level of kedusha. So the direction of Klipas Noiger, whether it will be elevated to Kedusha or whether it will be lowered into the Sholish Klipas Atmeyas, all depends on the Anhog of the person, as the Tanya will tell us. And we'll see more details as we go when we start Perek Zion. This all depends how Klipas Noiger, where it goes. Does it go up? Does it ascend in Kedusha? Or as a matter of fact, it descends and goes lower down. Depends basically on the Anhog of the person. So again, very Bekitzer. So we're going to see what the Tanya tells us again, that every Yid basically has two neshamas. As we said, one is the Nefesh Elikis, which is the divine soul, which is the Chelik Elikai Mimal. Right? And by the way, where does that neshama rest? Where does that neshama rest? That's HaNeshama Shebemoichi. That neshama is the neshama which is in the Moyach. That's the Mokim Mishkan of that neshama. The neshama which is the Nefesh Elikis, the divine soul, which is the Chelik Elikai Mimal, the Mokim Mishkan, the place where that neshama resides. That neshama resides in the Moyach. However, a person also has, as we said, the Nefesh HaBahamis. We have the animal soul, right? Or as others refer to it as the natural soul, which we said, this is derived from Klipas Noiga. This animal soul is derived from Klipas Noiga, and the void of the Yid is to be able to refine the natural soul, and to elevate it to Kedusha. Because as we said, Klipas Noiga has the ability, you can extract toy from it, and you can elevate it to the Madrega of Kedusha, depending on the Hanhog of a person. So just Bekitzer again, we talk so much about Klipos. So to have Ishtikla Havona, and what the idea, what the Musik of Klipos is, which is a terminology in Kabbalah and many Sfarim, the Tanya, literally in every Perikimat, where he talks about and refers to it. Of course, when you talk about, you say the word Klipa, it means a shell. It means a shell, or it means bark. Now when you think about a shell of a fruit, the shell is the inedible part, the part that you can't eat. But nevertheless, the chelik ha-toiv, which is the chelik of the fruit that you could eat, that's concealed. It is hidden. It is hidden by the klipa. If a person is successful in removing the outer shell and removing the bark, then he's able to reach the chelik ha-toiv sheboi, which is the fruit, which is the chelik which is supposed to be eaten. We use the terminology of klipa means a shell, not over a fruit, but covering up sparks of kedusha. Because being based upon the situation that we have in the world, which started out, which was called Shviras HaKelim, which we spoke about once, which means that Nitzutzim, sparks of Kedusha, which scattered and spread out all over the world, and they have become trapped. Because the forces of Tumah do not want the world to be able to be Yoinik, and to be able to glean from these sparks of Kedusha, so they are entrapped in various clippers, they are trapped in shells. These clippers basically are something which covers them over. These sparks of Kedusha are enclosed by the shells in the same way that the edible fruit is encumbered, right? And it's enclosed by the shell. So therefore, on its own, the sparks of Kedusha is unable to make itself felt because it has no koach to dominate over the shell. So that is the idea that we talk about klippas. Klippas means that there are sparks of Kedusha which are hidden by these forces. So now, let's see how this relates to what we just said. We said that basically there are four klippas. Now, the four klippas, again, are divided into two classes. The first three, plus the fourth one. Four klippas, two classes. Three and one. Three, class number one, the Sholish klippas HaTmeyos. And class number two, which is the fourth klippa, which is called klippas Noiga. Interesting thing is, I want you to imagine, sometimes, I guess, you know, various peanuts, as you know, in Halacha by Hilchos Boyer Rosh, it's also discussed, where you have, and so you find it by wheat kernels as well with chaff, you find there many coverings. You have thin coverings, then you have thicker coverings, and then you have sometimes, again, coverings. And then you have the hard shell. You have many, many coverings until you actually get to the edible portion. Interesting is, when we talk about sparks of Kedusha being concealed, what we're being told by the Mukubalim is the first klipa, the first one that's closest to the spark of Kedusha is Klipas Noiga. That's the one that makes really contact. It covers up the spark. Klipas Noiga basically is the klipa which immediately covers up the spark of holiness. Therefore, it means that Klipas Noiga is a shell that covers up, but the good news is, if you will, it's in direct contact. It comes in direct contact with Kedusha, and therefore, as we said, it's not altogether evil. And it's an intermediary between the Kedusha, because it covers the Kedusha on the one hand, and then on top of it, you have the three layers, the three klippas. The Sholish Klipas HaTmeyer that we talk about are on top. So they are further away than the sparks of Kedusha, which is ultimately concealed, toich b'toich, in the primius of the situation. So the other three klippas are further removed. they don't make direct contact with Kedusha. These are called the Sholish Klippas Atmeyos. It's the fourth Klippa, which is Klippas Noige, that's the one that's immediately covering, the first covering that covers the spark of Kedusha. And therefore, so it means like this, the three Klippas cover Klippas Noige. Klippas Noige is the one that covers the spark in the Tzutzen of Kedusha, within Tzitzis of Kedusha. And therefore, right, and therefore, basically they nurture, right, their nurture and their chiyus from wholeness comes to them through the medium of Klippas Noige. In other words, the other three Klippas get their nurture through Klippas Noige. Because you have to understand, nothing in this world can survive, as we said many times, without Kedusha. Even Tumah. Tumah cannot survive either. There's nothing in this world that could survive if it does not have a unique of Kedusha. So the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos themselves, in spite of the fact that they are the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos, but nevertheless, these Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos, in order to survive, they have to glean the sparks of Kedusha. From where do they derive their sparks of Kedusha? They get their sparks of Kedusha from Klippas Noige. Klippas Noige is the Klippa that is immediately, which covers over, right, the sparks of holiness. So Klippas Noige makes contact. Therefore, we said Klippas Noige is the Memutze. It's a Memutze between Kedusha because it covers directly, right, the Nitzitz of Kedusha. And on top of it, it has the other three layers, which are the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos. This is basically what the Tanya is going to tell us, as we're going to see here in Perek Zayin. And once we have these principles, so the lines are going to flow very, hopefully, quite smoothly. We have definitions, clearly, by the Torah. We have definitions, clearly, by the Torah, what's right, what's wrong. Anything else in this world, if you ask a person right or wrong, it's very subjective. Subjective. I think this is right, I think this is wrong. I think war is good, and you say war is not good. I say now it's good, but not other times it's not good. And so on and so forth. And you can go back and debate it, so on and so forth. You have the same debates with foods. Is it good for you? Is it not good for you? Comes a new study, comes an old study, comes a past study, and you soister one study, so is the other study, and so on and so forth. What we know, what's definitely good or bad, is because the Torah tells us exactly what's good and what's not good. So we know what's toiv and we know what's ra. Therefore, all matters that the Torah said it's also to do, which includes action, maise, all things that the Torah said is also to do, speech, in dibur, all things that the Torah said is also b'machshove, we're not allowed to be mahara, machshove, dibur, and maise, all these things, when a person does them, and he violates dibre Torah, either b'maise, either b'dibur, b'machshove, where did he get that koich of chiyus from? Where does that vitality come from? It comes from the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos. But the Tanya, that's the nekuda that the Tanya emphasizes in Perek Zayin. The power, the ability, the force, the life force, the energy, to be able to do things clearly that the Torah said is also dvorim wa'asurim, derive their forces, derive their koyches from the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos. These things are absolutely evil. Someone eats something that's forbidden to be eaten. Somebody does something else that is also to be done. Speaks things that is also to be spoken. And thinks about things that the Torah said is also. These things come. Now, what about those things? And this is heavy. Heavy. And we say many times, the Tanya says a lot of things. You can see the Madrega of where great, great Oyvde Hashem come from. What about things that really be'etzem are mutter? Talk about all the kosher food. All the kosher food in the world, right? It's mutter. No. If it's mutter, so bepashtis, a person who eats the things that are mutter to be eaten, right? Those koiches, those forces do not come from the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos, because these are dvarim hamutarim. These are things that are mutter. So comes the Tanya, and the Tanya tells us that Klippas Noiga, that we just said right now, which is the fourth Klippa, which is the Klippa Hamutzas, which is right between Kedusha and the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos, the anhog of a person can either elevate Klippas Noiga to bring it to Kedusha, because that is the only Klippa that has two sides to it. It has Toiv and has Ra. There's an intermingle, there's a mixture between Toiv and Ra, and it's the Hanhoga of the person that will determine whether Klippas Noiga will be elevated to Kedusha, or whether he'll lower it down to the Sholish Klippas HaTmeyos, says the Tanya. Klippas Noiga, if you eat something that's mutter, and hear what he says, if you eat that with mutter, but not stam, you eat it l'shem shamayim. You eat it in order that it gives you the energy to survive. You know, first of all, the Torah says, V'nishnartem oidel nafshe seichem. It doesn't use that posik. Everybody throws that posik around, but it's a posik. A person who does the things that he has to do, which life dictates that he must do, but he does it because he wants the energy to be able to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then, Klippas Noiga, he has now elevated it to the realm of Kedusha. By the same token, and this is heavy, a person who eats a kosher breakfast, but is eating it simply not because he has any havim in it, that he should have koyach, he says, to go to a shir or to conduct his business erlich, or in order to be able to do chesed ben odol machaderoi. But poshut, he says, to fill himself and to stuff himself and to satisfy his base instincts and human desires, Tanya says, you have dragged down klipas noiga now to the bechin of sholish klipas atmeis. It's an amazing thing. The pashtus, you didn't do anything that's osir. You didn't do anything that's osir. You ate something that's perfectly kosher. And you made a brocha. We're not talking you did an isir. You made a brocha. And Mr. Tomi, you're going to bench too if there's a need to bench. And you made a brocha achroina. But if you did even such a thing, that's absolutely mutter be'etzim. That's where klipas noiga comes in. Because be'etzim it's mutter. There's no isir. But how are you going to use that which is mutter is going to determine whether klipas noiga is elevated to kedusha or whether klipas noiga is lowered, right? And you caused it to be noifel and to fall into the clutches and to become connected with the sholish klipas atmeis. He says, if you do or you eat and you do your maisim, even maisim that are mutter, but if you're not doing for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shlom, you're here for a purpose. There's no free ride over here. Even the Litvish of Alamus, Rebbe Lapian used to say many times. Lapian used to say, he says, I want you to know, he said that this world, said B'Shem Rabbi Yisrael, Salanter, he said that this world, he says, a very expensive hotel, he says. Nothing for free. He says, when you leave this world, he said, that's when you check out, right? That's when you have to pay. And they don't take credit cards, Rabbi Yisrael. So you have to have something with what to pay there. There's a whole cheshem here and everything that goes on over here in this world. So the pshat is, the things that you're eating, all the things that Kodesh Baruch Hu provides, he provides it for a reason. Why? There's a reason. So Tum Koyach should be able to serve the Rabbeinu Shloim. Person who can do more, can do more. Person who can do less, we're not asking him to do more. Ask him, then he has to do less. And Kodesh Baruch Hu above a trillion B'Yoyos HaBosh is not asking for a person things that he can't do. Look upon him, even Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're not those Madreikis to do everything Shem Shemaim either. So, as the Tzodik HaKoyin says many places, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Machshiv, our Avoida according to our Madreikis. This is a stickle of the Chizuk. People shouldn't just fall apart here when you hear this. What happens over here? Because how many of us will say to ourselves that we do everything we do L'Shem Shemai? Thank God we're not doing outright Averis, hopefully, when we don't do Averis. Now we're being asked, it's not enough not to do an Avera, but even when we do things that are perfectly mutter, do it according to L'Shem Shemai. So Tzaddik says, according to the generation, according to the time that we live in, our necessities are very, very difficult, not challenges. So he says, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is machshiv every Dover Toiv, every small, little Dover Toiv that we do. Had tremendous cheshivas, he says. A Dover Toiv today, says Reb Tzaddik HaKoyim, Zen Pashav Echi. A Dover Toiv that you do today has more cheshivas, no matter how small it is, because how much do we do already? Has more cheshivas, he says, than Avodah that was done in the time of Tanoim and Amaroim. What do you think? Tanoim and Amaroim, on the highest level of Kiddushin and Avodah Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu looks at everything in relative situation to where we are and where we stand. So Kaponim, this is the Nekudah that we're going to see. Klipas Noige, basically our natural soul, our animal soul, our Nefesh HaBahamis, right, which is the second Neshama beside the Nefesh HaLakis, Nefesh HaBahamis, that's from Klipas Noige. Whether this Klipas Noige, we said, it will be elevated to Kedusha because it can go both ways. That's what's called Noige. Noige means it has some brightness in it. It shines. That's Pochet, that's totally in our situation, in how we are Noig. Let me just conclude. You know, we all know, that was the Lashon Kodesh word for something that is forbidden? We say it is osur. What is the Lashon Kodesh word? What is the term that we use for something that is permitted? We say that it is mutter. So the Tanya tells us that the word osur basically means that it is locked up, it is chained, it is bound. Matir asurim. Osur means this is bound, it's chained. When we say it's mutter, we mean it's free, it's released. What does it mean? It means it's as follows. When something is osur, it belongs, as we said, it's in the clutches, it's in the forces of evil, and it is in the koiches of the chitzoinim. It means the chitzoinim, which means the demonic forces, the forces of evil, preventing it from returning and ascending to holiness. That because it's osur. When something is osur, it means, as we said, Dvarim Vasurim will always remain in the Sholish Klippas Atmeis. They can never ascend. They can never have an Aliyah. They are Osir. They are tied. They are chained. They are bound. That's what Osir means. When we say that something is Mutter, right? Mutter means that it is free. It's not tied by the power of the Chitzoinim, right? And therefore, it is possible to elevate it to a high Madrege. But we, by the same token, can take that Dvarim Mutter, according to the Tanya, if you don't utilize it l'shem shemayim, then you yourself have dragged it down and you have lowered it to the sholish klipos hatmeis. Unless, he says, later on you do tshuva. Tshuva is something that, of course, is something that a yid can always do. So then you can again recapture those devarim hamutorim that should have been free, that should have been released. And you, with your actions, due to your actions, have lowered it and brought it down and given it a yirida to the sholish klipos hatmeis. But now that you do tshuva, you are able to bring it back, he says, into a level of kedusha again. As he points out, he says it becomes absorbed back into the clutches of kedusha and the memela. This is the hanhog of the person, and the person, as Tanya says, as we see when we recognize how we determine. It's amazing things. These are all behind the scenes. These are things we're not aware of, but we're being taught as we learn. In fact, that every pula that we do, what effects it has on our neshama. So the more we are conscious, the more we are aware of it. Of course, this should serve as a greater incentive, of course, and how we do even things that are mutter. So bearing this in mind, Rabbi Yisrael, let us go now to the Tanya. Let's go now to the Tanya, and we begin Tarkei Perek Zayin. Okay. Says the Tanya. Ach. All right, this is how he begins Perek Zayin. Ach, says the Tanya, ha-nefesh, ha-chiyunis, ha-behamish, ha-be-Yisroel. He says, when we talk about the nefesh ha-behamis, he says, the nefesh ha-behamis, which means, what do you mean ach? Ach means accept. Unlike what was discussed in the previous perek. In the previous perek, we spoke about Dvorim Hoasurim. Dvorim Hoasurim, he said, belong to the Sholish Klipos Hatmeos. Ah, however, says the Tanya now, he says, Sholish Klipos Hatmeos, these are life forms that are derived from the Sholish Klipos Hatmeos if they are Dvorim Hoasurim. Dvorim Hoasurim are life forms that are derived from the Sholish Klipos Hatmeos. Ah, however, the Nefesh HaChiyunis HaBehamish of Israel. Now we're talking about that second neshama. That's the natural neshama. That's the animal soul that every yid has. Shebi Yisroel, which is Shemitzada Klippa, which is derived from Klippa, and he means Klippas Noige, the Tanya means. That's that fourth Klippa the Tanya is talking about. Hamlubeshes Bedam Ho'odom Keniskeliel, right? Which clothes itself in the human being's blood. In other words, it gives him his physical life. That's the Nefesh HaBahamis, which gives a person his physical life, as mentioned above. In other words, a goy also has lahavdil. A goy also has a nefesh hachiyunis. However, Rabbi said the goy's nefesh hachiyunis comes from the sholish klipos hatmeos. That's where the yid's neshama departs. The yid's animal soul, the yid's nefesh abahamis, is not from the sholish klipos hatmeos, because sholish klipos hatmeos remain always impure. However, the neshama of the yid, even we're talking about now his nefesh abahamis, we're talking about his animal soul, right? That comes from Klipas Noiga. And Klipas Noiga, as we said, is the fourth Klippa which can go both ways. Tanya goes on. Not only a Yid's Neshama, but also it says, Unafoshes, Behemes, Vechayes, Veoifes, Vedogim Tahirim. Also the souls of the animals, right, in the Chayes, Vedogim Tahirim, the kosher fish, because we're talking about the kosher, not the forbidden. We're talking about now things that are kosher. Right? Umetorim Lachila, which are permitted to be eaten, right? Vekium, Vechius, and also, what gives the life force to the existence, right, of kol ha-doimeim v'chol ha-tzameach ha-mutr b'achila. A doimeim, these are stones, rocks, inanimate objects. These are not dvorim asurim either, right? They're not things to be eaten. But nevertheless, they exist in this world. There is a life force. There's a life force that allows it to exist, that gives it its koyach to exist. So, the neshamas of the behemoth chai is dogim tohirim, all the things that are mutr b'achila. And the life force behind doimeim, behind inanimate objects, and behind the vegetable world, right? Which is permitted. The chain, in addition to that, also says the Tanya, kiyum v'chiyus, kol ha-maise, dibur machshove, binyona oylam hazeh, she'ein behem tzariser, right? We're talking about those things which don't have a tzariser. We're talking about that which does not have a tzariser. So, mamela, so where does the koyach come from of these situations? Where does it come from? Says the Tanya, when we're saying there's no tzadisser, when we say there's no tzadisser, it means not even an issa drabonon. The koyach of an issa drabonon. We're talking about things, the life force, right, which comes by things that are totally, completely mutter. Loy shayrish, loy anaf, right? There is neither a root nor a branch, mishasaw mitzvah, loy sisei vanofeim, right? From the offshoot, the rice of the Rabbonon, It means when a person is involved in something that's totally mutter mitzadina ha-toyre. Now, when you have items in this world that are completely, completely pure and totally mutter mitzadina ha-toyre, one problem, rak she'eino l'shem shamayim. Very, very heavy. Totally, purely mutter. Completely mutter. Yet, when these thoughts, when these actions, when these utterances, machshava dibur ma'ase, totally mutter be'etzem, totally mutter be'etzem, rak she'eino l'shem shamayim, but they are not being done, you're not performing them for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shloilam, as they ought to be, but as they ought to be, very simply meaning is, that the ma'ase and the action of a yid, his ma'ase, machshava and dibur, has to be directed towards the Rabbeinu Shloilam, which is mentioned in the Rambam, which is mentioned also in Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. Well, time we'll look at it. If not, we'll look at it next week to see again the role again of L'shem Shemayim and Avodas Hashem, which means that the intention of one's eating, right, is to supply him strength for Limud HaTorah and for Tefillah and for performing other mitzvahs, right, and all the inyanim that he does in his daily life, Ben Odom L'Chaveiro, to conduct his business properly and so on, should be for the intention for providing his family to be Mechanech Hashem. Why am I doing business for? Why do I need to amass a fortune for? Why do I think I need? I should be thinking because to supply for my family, to pay tuition for my children, to be able to buy mezuzahs, to buy proper tefillin, mehuda to get tefillin, right? To build a sukkah and so on and so forth. To be able to do all the things that requires in order to be able to do and to be a yid. That's the way it should be. However, when his maise, dibur and machshove and thoughts do not serve this purpose, Elo, what purpose does it serve? The purpose is Ele rotzen haguf the cheftsoy v'tavosoy. Instead, what is he doing with all these dvarim hamutorim? What he's doing is they serve his own will, his own desire, his own taiva. And the Tanya goes and makes it even more. Va'afilu it even hu tzayrach haguf v'kiyumoy v'chiyusoy mamish. The Tanya goes more, and assuming that the things that he does is not by choice, because it's vital and necessary to exist. Everybody agrees that you have to eat in order to live. It's impossible to exist otherwise. So eating is clearly a necessity. A certain amount of food we're talking about. So eating clearly is a necessity. So one can argue, so if he's eating by necessity, so he has to do it. What avla can there be? The Tanya says, even when you're doing something that out of necessity, but you have a choice to do it l'shem shemayim, and you have also a choice not to do it l'shem shemayim, you're still dragging down klipas noiga. You're still dragging down klipas noida down to the sholish klipas hatmeyas. Amazing thing what he talks about. He says, "Afilu hu tzayrach hagufi kiyumoy v'chiyusoy mamish." Even the things that he does is not by choice. He has to do it in order to live, in order to exist. Elo, he says, the act. So Melor Aboy said, the act itself cannot be faulted. Why not? Because he has to do it. What we are faulting is not the act. We're faulting the intention. This is Elo shekavanosa ein l'shem shemayim. In order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? To use his body has to be an instrument to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a body. So what did he give you a body for? He gave you a body for a reason. He gave you a body that the body becomes a vehicle, the body becomes an instrument to serve the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So if you're using it for other reasons, he says, so now, all the things that you're doing, even you're doing it out of necessity, perfectly mutter, right? Well, Adifi, he says, if, again, we're talking about where the spiritual intent is absent, then, he says, all these acts, v'yadifi ma'ase, he says, his thoughts and his actions are no better, and his machshava are no better, machshavas elu menefesh achiyunis, says they are not better than the life force, habahamis v'yatzmo, than the animal soul itself. Meaning, what are we saying about? We're saying is again, in the same way that his nefesh abahamis is what? Is klipas noiga. All of his acts and his maisim and his deeds are also part of klipas noiga. If all his maisim and action and deeds are part of klipas noiga, then if you don't use it properly, we said klipas noiga can go two ways. That's the thing. Being that his acts and his maisim and his machshava are all parts of klipas noiga, he's not mechashev, it's not mechavim l'shem shomayim, so now he has taken klipas noiga and he's driven it and he's directed it in the direction of the Sholish Klippas HaTemeis, as he points out. And therefore, V'hakoil, and therefore everything, V'hakoil Kashal HaKoil, means everything in totality, means everything, meaning now, his neshama, his animal soul, which we said is klipas noiga, right? Derived from klipas noiga. Hakoil means his animal soul, his maise, his machshov and dibor, that means hakoil. Everything, based upon the way that he acted, based upon his anhoge, shaloi l'shem shomayim, what happens? So it says, nishpa v'nimshech. He says, everything, mimadrega hashenis, basically it becomes connected, as we said, everything is connected with the second madrega. Shebeklipis v'sitra achra, everything flows and is drawn, means from the second madrega of the klip of sitra achra, shehi klipa revias, hanikreis klipas noiga. Madrega shnia. Remember we said that there are two classes. The first three klipas, right, is class number one. Klipas noiga, we said, is class number two. Klipas noiga is the second madrega of the totality of the four klipas. A person's maisim, his neshama, basically, as we said, starts out as klipas noiga. If a person does not utilize it l'shem shemayim, so now this element of klipas noiga, as the Tanya says, as we'll see what happens, once we understand what klipas noiga is, because here the Tanya will tell us, we spoke it out, the Tanya will tell us it's an in-between, between Kedusha and the Sholish Klippas at the Meir's. A person who directs his maisim, his machshava dibra maise, shaloi l'shem shemayim, his actions, as we said, flows from klipas noiga, right, which is the fourth klipa, the klipa that shines. The reason we say it shines because there is a ray of holiness there, depending again how a person will use it and extract it. Because the Tanya goes on to say, we're talking about klipas noiga shebe oilam hazeh, because in this world, hanikra oilam hasiya, this world which is called the oilam of action, you know what the mitzias of this world is? You know what the makeup of this world is? The Tanya says, the makeup of this world which is called oilam hasiya, says the Tanya, is ruboi kikuloi ra. Realize this? This world, the makeup, the ingredients of this world, which is oilam hasiya, is kimat all in all, right? So we take a look at klipas noiga itself. Remember we said it's a mixture? It's not, Rabbeisai, an even mixture. Klipas noiga is ruboi kikuloi ra, but there is some toiv. Rak ma'at toiv me'urad b'soichoi. In other words, to understand a little bit the Tanya, to give you just half a minute of background, the Tanya says, shebe oilam hazeh hanikra oilam hasiya. What it means to say, Rabbeisai, the truth is, because there is klipas noiga also in the other worlds as well. We know that there are four worlds, one above the other, ranking higher in Kedusha. The most upper world is called the Olam Ha'atzilus, the world of emanations. Not to go into that, but just to tell you, as the Mukabalim point out, the Olam Ha'atzilus is from the Lashon Eitzel, near, closest and near to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's called Olam Ha'atzilus. And then the next world, lower than that, is called the Olam Habriya, the world of creation. Then comes the Olam HaYetzira, world of formation. And then our world is called the Olam HaAsiya, which is the world of action. So basically, by the way, these are four stages, which is brought out, these are the four stages or the four levels when in the process, in the creation process, which reveals, you know, from Tzimtzumim. Tzimtzumim, if you might remember, we said in one of the early Shurim of the Tanya means, that tzimtzum means contraction. Tzimtzum means basically withdrawal. It means self-limitation. What it means is that the creative process, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is Ein Sof. It's infinite light. None of the worldly creations is able to tolerate the full pressure or the full force of the Oyer Ein Sof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created tzimtzum. He screened it out. It's screened out at different levels. Olam Atzilus is less screened out, but it's screened out. Olam Habriya, which is the lower than that, right, is screened out again. And then Olam HaYetzira and Olam Asiya is screened out most to most. The most is screened out from our world. We have the least. In other words, this is called Tzimtzum, which is called self-limitation of the Oyer Ein Sof of the infinite light. So this is the Olam HaAsiya. So this is the world that we're in, is Olam HaAsiya. So you have to mention also the same way that each world also has a klipas noiga. Each world has a klipas noiga. In the upper world, means in the Olam Atzilus, klipas noiga is kulei toiv. Very interesting thing. Kulei toiv. In the next world, which is a little bit lower, it's a ruboi toiv. Then you come to the Olam HaYetzira, it's half and half, half toiv and half ra. Olam HaAsiya, this world over here, klipas noiga, is ruboi ra. That's what the Tanya is referring to when he says, Sheba Olam HaZeh, HaNikra Olam HaAsiya, because relating to this world, and by the way, I have to tell you that in the same way that we talk about the 10 faculties, the 10 forces, right? The 10 different madregas and levels, the vehicles of how Kadosh Baruch Hu shines through to this world. We talk about Esses Sfiras, which are 10 manifestations of how Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to this world. Each of the other worlds also have Esses Sfiras, but on different madregas. That's Esses Sfiras, Esses Sfiras, Esses Sfiras. By the way, the lowest of the Sfiras in a higher world is still higher than the higher of a lower world. Now, it's Olam HaYetzir, which is the higher world. The lowest Sfira in Olam HaTzilus still is higher than the higher Sfira of Olam HaBriyah, which is one world lower, and so on and so forth. This is the way the hierarchy goes. This is the way it works. So the Tanya now goes on to tell us further. So the Tanya tells us, so you have to realize we have Klipas Noiga, which Be'etzim, he says, is Rubai Kikulai Ra. There's just a little bit of Toiv, which is Murav B'Soichai. And he says, Shememenu Bois Midois Toivois. And interesting, by the way, that little bit of good is very powerful, though. We should not say, so what chance do we have? No. That little bit of good is very powerful. Shememenu, from that little bit of good in Klipas Noiga, because Al Nefesh HaBahamis basically is derived from Klipas Noiga. So that little bit of good that's in Klipas Noiga, Shememenu Bois, Shemena boys, midois toivois, shebenefesh habahamish be Yisrael. The good qualities which are found in the animal neshama of the yid, kamachikot of liel, as is mentioned above. In other words, the inherent qualities that a yid has, compassion, he has cheshik to do chesed, the benevolence, all stem from his animal soul. So you see that the toiv, that there is a profound koich in that little bit of toiv, which is in his animal soul. Right, this is a neshama of klipa, and yet, as we said, it incorporates good as well. And therefore, it gives rise to all of the good middos of compassion and benevolence and so on and so forth. So, mamela. So, klipas noige basically is a mixture of toi vera. So, therefore, being it's a mixture of toi vera, who is going to determine, right, whether we're going to have kuloi ra, we're going to elevate it or going to lower it, says the Tanya further now. Says the Tanya, and it continues. The he bechino, he says, the klipas noige is an intermediate category. Bechina memutzas bein sholosh klipas hatmeis legamre, right, which are completely unclean. Ubein bechinas umadregas of kedusha, the category in the order of kedusha. Therefore, says the Tanya, now we come to the realization that the sholosh klipas hatmeis are in between. So what happens? Well, therefore, beomim he says sometimes, right. Sometimes the klipas noiga is absorbed within the sholish klipas atmeyos. Kamachikos of Beit Chaim, right from Chaim Vital, Sham Memtes, Resh Perik Dalet B'Shem Azoyer. Upamim, and sometimes it's absorbed. Shinechleles ve'oyle bebchines of Madreges Hakedusha. How? How? When does it happen in one way? When does it happen the other way? Says the Tanya Dehainu, and that is. Says, when the good, right, that is intermingled, as we said, Klipas Noiga has the mixture of Toiv Ra. When that Toiv, Nizbarer Mohara, when a Yid is able to extract the Toiv from the Ra, and to separate the Toiv from the Ra, because that is our Avoida. Our Avoida is to be able to separate and to extract the Chelik HaToiv from the Chelik Ra, and to have the Chelik HaToiv prevail. So then he says, V'goyver, it prevails, V'oyla, the Nichlal, the Kedusha. So we see how what happens over here. We see how the person's maise and the machshavas and the dibur of a person. Keep going. So here the Tanya gives us very, very practically, a practical example. In daily life, he says how we will determine in terms of how our animal soul and our machshava dibur maise, which is all from klipas noige, will be elevated to kedusha, or are we dragging it down to the sholish klipas atmeis? Keep going. Very practical moshul. Keep going. The rach moshul says the Tanya. The person eats, right, beef. He eats beef, fat beef, and he drinks spiced wine. But he does not drink it out of physical desire. Does not eat it out of physical desire. Why does he eat it? He does it, and he had, because why? It should give him achovas hadas. Because when a person, right, eats right and drinks right, it basically puts him in the proper state of mind to be able to do greater, to achieve greater. His mind becomes clear, right? Kedom HaRove, as we see, Chazal say, Mesechtes Yuma, by the way, this is Yuma I involve. Chazal say, Rove said, Chamre v'recha pikchin. Rove says that wine and fragrance, a good besomim, he says, make my mind, he says, pikchin, sharper, smarter, makes my mind more receptive. So there is a definite positive purpose, L'avodas Hashem, in Achila and Shtia, says the Tanya. Then the Tanya goes further. Or maybe he eats all of these foods, as we said, all of these good foods. He eats it in order to be able to be Mekayim, Mitzvahs Oynik Shabbos and Yontif. By the way, these are two Madrigas in Avodas Hashem. But the Tanya gave us two examples of Avodas Hashem. The first example of the Tanya said, where a person eats, right? He eats his meat and he drinks his wine in order to broaden his mind to be able to learn Torah. In that Madrega of Avodas Hashem, his Achil Ishtir itself is not the Avodas Hashem. It's a Hechsher Mitzvah. He's eating and drinking in order to be able to learn better, right? In order to be able to do maybe acts of chesed better, to have more koyach, and so on and so forth. The eating and drinking itself is not the mitzvah. The eating and drinking is something which will allow him, which will enable him to achieve greater heights of mitzvahs. The second example is where the achil ishtiyah is a mitzvah in itself. This is the mitzvah line. And that is, oybishvil kedei lekayim mitzvahs oynik shabbos viyontes. There the achil ishtiyah itself is a mitzvah. It's not a hechsher mitzvah for something else. But there the achil ishtiyah itself is an avodas Hashem. So it's a mitzvah in its own right, because we have a mitzvah to eat and to drink and to enjoy Shabbos. In such a situation, when a person has these proper kavanos, azai, he says, nizbarer chiyas habosav hayayim. Let's remember, the meat and the wine that he drinks, right, these are permitted foods. As a result, they are derived from klipas noiga. Now that you have utilized the achilas bosav hayayim, dvorim hamutorim, right, for a positive purpose with a kavanah l'shem shemayim, now what happens is, this chius, this vitality of the boss of a yayin shoyin nishpa meklipas noige, the oile la Hashem ke oile ke korban, totally elevated to kedusha, mamish like a korban oile. He says, and it goes up like a korban, like oile ke korban. That's the koyach of a person. He takes these life forces of the boss of the yayin, and his nisham itself at that point, his animal soul, becomes elevated to a bechin, as he says, it's oile la Hashem ke oile ke korban. The life force of Klipas Noiga, right, basically now becomes elevated to Kedusha. Becomes elevated to Kedusha. As a matter of fact, Sefer HaTzachayim brings down, many Meforshim say the same thing. The Gemara says, Hana Bavloi Tipshoi. They say, the Bavli Matipshim. The Ochle Nahama Ben Hama. They eat bread with bread. They're making a sandwich of bread with bread. Doesn't look too smart. These people are eating Nahama Ben Hama. They're eating bread with bread. So on a deeper level, he said, the Kavana is, if you ask a person, right, from secular background, that's, what are you eating for? What do you mean? I want to be able to live. So why do you want to live? He said, so why do you want to live? So be able to live. How do you sustain yourself? To work. So ultimately, I'm eating to live, to be able to work. Why are you working for? To have food to eat. I don't work, I'm not going to be able to eat. So he's eating to be able to work, and he's working in order to be able to eat. So there's one circle. There's no purpose. He's eating bread for the sake of bread. And as I'm eating bread now, to be able to eat bread again tomorrow. I'm eating bread today, right? To be able to live, to be able to work, to be able to eat bread again. This is my tachlis. What's my tachlis in life? To eat bread today, to be able to eat bread tomorrow, and to eat it after tomorrow, the after tomorrow. So he's eating bread for bread. That's not how a yid eats bread. A yid eats bread because it's a tachlis. To be able to serve Hashem. Be able to Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference. These are bavloi tipshoim. The Gemara refers to them. They eat nahama ben nahama. Same thing with any dover gashmi. Because Baruch Hu created dvarim shel gashmi, in order to utilize it and to elevate it, to bring it to Kedusha. The Meir Pre Mishlano used to say, Potik says, Serufa imroscho ma'oid v'avdacho aheva. He says, you think about, people say, and it's really true, again, it's true and it's not true. Say, money is the root of all evil. But at the same time, if you use it for positive purposes, you use it to build Moses HaTayr, you use it to be mechanoch your children, you use it to be able to be mekayim mitzvahs Hashem, that's a gevaldige thing. So he says like this, at Ramera Pramishlana, Tzerufa imroscha ma'oid. Ma'oid means money. B'chol ma'idecha. Tzerufa imroscha ma'oid. Your Torah is connected to money. You can't be a yid without money. So you need money, push it. To be mechanoch your children. To buy a pair of tzitzis. All of the things that you required in mitzvahs asay, medafum geld. Tzerufa imroscha, the imrit. The Amir of the Torah is connected to money. Therefore, v'avdecha, therefore he says, Ma'ir l'aheva, therefore I like money, he says. V'avdecha aheva. He said, that's why I like it. I like money, why? Because Srufim Rosh Chamoid. Because the Torah is connected to money. And as you take something as money, and you're able to take it to elevate it, and to bring it to a higher level. And, when the Tanya tells us over here, But when a person eats his bosa v'yayin, he says, in order to be able to yoved Hashem. So now he says, the klipas noiga has been elevated, he says, ka'oilu ke'karbon. The truth is, that it's brought down taki in the Moranayim from Rav Nochum Chernobler. Rav Nochum Chernobler brings down the Sefer Moranayim, that the truth is, when a person is mala dvorim gashmiyim to kedusha, then the haloah, the elevation, is even greater than his Torah and Mitzvah. Because Torah and Mitzvah inherently have kedusha. But if a Yid is able to take something that's a dover gashmi, and he's able to elevate that and bring that up to a level of kedusha, so Mela, he says, the haloah, the elevation really goes even greater. And this is similar to what the Gemara tells us in Brachas on the Posik. Sholem, sholem, larochoik, right? Vilakoroik. So the Gemara says larochoik first. Peace, right? Larochoik. And the Gemara says larochoik means one who used to be distant, right? Viniskarev. Lakorev means someone who was always korev. But larochoik means somebody who was not always korev. Somebody who was away from Torah, far from Torah mitzvahs, and yet he became close. There's a double sholem mentioned. Sholem, sholem, larochoik. And it's mentioned first, larochik. Lakorev, larochik, bereshit. Larochik is mentioned first. Why? Because to elevate, to take a life of gashmis, to take a life of yerida, and to be able to elevate that and bring that back and to be mekadesh and to sanctify it, that's even closer. This inyan of rochik becomes even higher than the one who is korev, mikorev. That's why the Gemara said, Mamokin shabala tshuva endim, philistikin gemur, mikorem lamay. So, Mela, this is what the Tanya tells us. So, we can conclude right here, over here, Rabbi Isai. This is a very good note. This is when a person utilizes all of the faculties and all of the vinyonim to use it for tzorech avodas Hashem with the proper intentions. Zavad and vadi is mekadesh, the klipas noiga, and this is oilel Hashem. He says ka oilel ukekarben. Yerotzen, we should be zeichet to follow in this madrega of avodas Hashem.